You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow me on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. I'm joined, as always, by the host of Locked On Eagles, Michael J. Kist of Grandstand Sports Network, Breaking Football, and Inside the Pylon. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. We've got the excellent crossover pod today with Locked On Seahawks, Grant Goldberg, and Spike Friedman joining us. Fantastic show. But before we get into the content, I've got a couple of announcements for you guys. Number one, as always, please leave a rating and a review in iTunes or on whatever podcast app you listen to us. Go ahead and leave a five-star rating, leave a review. If you put your Twitter handle in the review, you enter yourself for a chance to win a PFF Edge subscription, which is a $40 value. Awesome deal. Very excited about that. We love to hear your feedback. Go ahead, give us a review. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't so we can keep making this show better and better for you. That's number one. Now, number two is the partnership that Locked On NFL Network has recently created with the app Draft. Now, if you're a fantasy football fan, this is for you. It's not too late to join Draft. There's already 500,000 people who have downloaded the app this season. Now, you play in a real-life snake draft, but unlike most snake fantasy football leagues, you're done in under 5 minutes, and these drafts last for just 1 week. And you can join right now a Locked On Eagles draft. I'll tell you what to do. The best part is you're playing for cold hard cash, all right? Get this, you're about 80% more likely to win as well in a draft than you are in one of those salary cap sites, those daily fantasy sites. So this is a good opportunity for you. All new players are going to get a free entry with the promo code that we're giving you here. The promo code is LockedOnNFL. It's L-O-N-F-L. That's the promo code, L-O-N-F-L. And with it, you get a free entry into the Locked On Eagles draft with your first deposit. So you're going to play in a real money game for free with your first deposit when you hit that promo code L-O-N-F-L. That's what you're looking for, L-O-N-F-L. And it's going to get even better. Locked On Eagles listeners are given a money-back guarantee by Draft of up to $100, which is fantastic. So go ahead, search for Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and you can come play right now. Once you get into the app, look for the Locked On Eagles Draft. You can go ahead and enter. If we get enough of you, we'll make a second one and you'll go ahead and you'll be able to play me and play Mike in some daily fantasy. So look for that. Those are our two announcements before the show. Let's get into the content.
Okay, so we are here with Ben and Mike of Locked On Eagles, and I would say that we're a little nervous coming into this matchup. It's a very important game for the Seahawks playoff hopes. I think that Eagles fans are resting a little easier at night thinking about this game. But my first question, and either of you can answer it, is what's it been like watching Carson Wentz transform from an FCS quarterback to the potential MVP of the league? His touchdowns are way up, interceptions are down, rushing yards are up, even fumbles are down. He's been great this year for you guys. How's it been watching him?
I've gotten this question a couple of times, and I always answer it similarly. It's equal parts just thrilling, like marvelous, and like nerve-wracking and terrifying, because you've seen the way that he's developed. He's become an incredible quarterback in the league. So many strides that he's taken from his FCS days, as you alluded to. Footwork drastically improved from his first year. Mechanics drastically improved from his first year. Ball protecting, only 5 interceptions so far in the year versus 14 last year. Really, really fantastic. The strides that he's making in the aspects of his game that were weak, and then the creativity that was always there, the mobility, the playmaking, the strength of the arm. You've seen that in spades. It's been so much fun. That's the marvelous part. The terrifying part comes when he decides to lower his shoulder into a linebacker 10 yards down the field. And, you know, when you watch backup left tackle Halepolivati Vaitai whiff on another edge rusher, you know, MVP, you know, consideration holds with it the connotation that if this guy goes down, your entire team is sunk. And Carson's a big dude, but he's a physical player, and it's a little bit scary. And so it's been so much fun to watch him develop, but we've seen Aaron Rodgers go down. We've seen Deshaun Watson go down. We've seen so many of these playmakers go down. It's been an injury-riddled year for the NFL, and so you're just praying that Carson makes it through the regular season, you know?
Yeah, thank God for the way Russell Wilson plays football and gets down. I feel like those are my top two guys for MVP this year. I think they're really neck and neck in my mind, and that might be some Seahawks bias, having watched him play every game. But
as the other Seahawks fan here, I will say Tom Brady's name probably should get mentioned somewhere.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I don't like to talk about Tom Brady because when his name does get mentioned with the Seahawks, some other things are mentioned that I don't like to hear.
The question I wanted to ask you guys is, with the other dimension of your offense, the running game, you guys have so many backs who are effective right now in the running game. And I was wondering how that rotation is shaking out for you guys. You obviously added Jay Ajayi. LeGarrette Blount's been better than could have been expected. Wendell Smallwood's been contributing. How has the running game developed thus far since acquiring Ajayi?
Yeah, the running committee was always a question mark, and especially when, you know, we started to get Smallwood involved. You saw a lot of Corey Clement earlier than you would expect, and we would save Blount towards the end of games. Now you're seeing more Blount in the beginning of games with some Clement sprinkled in, and it seems like we're kind of saving some tread on the tires for Ajayi, which is fine. I hope that we get him more involved with maybe a 15-carry game at some point, but at the same time, with Blount hammering defenses in the beginning of the games, and then you have Clement, who has been showing that he is a much better receiving threat than he ever was in college, and then you add in a fresh Ajayi who can bust off a 70-yarder like he did against the Cowboys because he's fresh. I mean, it's really hard for defenses to handle, and with the concepts that we're doing in our run game, the nuance that we're showing, the wrinkles that we're throwing in are just as important as the guys that are toting the rock. And Ben did a great piece for Ben, what'd you do that piece for?
That's really, yes, for LockedOnEagles.com, talking about, you know, Eagles can mix in a lot of zone and a lot of power. And what that does for a defensive line is that screws with your keys. You'll see a lineman going one way, thinks it's zone and it's power. It messes you up around. So offensive line is playing really good football. And that's the story in the running game for sure.
Have you guys been able to withstand Peters being out in the running game? Has Vaitai been able to step up in that aspect of the game?
Yeah, Vaitai's strength is run blocking. Vaitai is a very large, powerful human being. He's a big dude. And he is not nimble. He doesn't have great balance. And so in pass protection, he gets exposed. Eagles really protect him. A lot of tight ends to the left side, a lot of chips. You know, those slant protection to the left, they do a lot to protect him in pass protection. He hasn't given up many sacks or pressures this year, and then that's part of the reason why. Run blocking, he can be good. He can get moving in zone. You know, he can get on his horse and start riding, and he's a force when he's moving. And then when they ask him to pull, he can be effective there as well. Again, it takes him a second to pick up, but he's an effective run blocker. And so the Eagles offensive line, you know, besides Vaitai, from left guard on, you've got guys who are playing outstanding football. Wisniewski wasn't the starter to begin the year at left guard, but he stepped in. He's playing very well. And then I said on a previous pod, from center to right tackle is Pro Bowl caliber play. Yeah. Jason Kelce, Brandon Brooks at right guard, and then Lane Johnson at right tackle. And what those guys allow you to do, they're multiplicitous. They're very, very adept at different things. And so they can attack whatever front you put in front of them. If you give them an over front, then they'll pin and pull you. They'll fold and they'll sweep. And you give them an under front, well, they'll just run zone on you. And they'll climb to the second level. They can do all the different things. So it's very difficult by alignment to get an advantage over them in the running game. That's why I say that offensive line is the strength of the rushing attack. Eagles have had 175-plus rushing yards for the past three games. Now, that's a long streak, and a lot of that has to do with game script. Eagles have been winning all their past games by about 28 points, so they're coming in hot. So a lot of that has to do with game script, but, you know, the offensive line's really moving off the ball.
I feel like they're like the anti-Seahawks in that regard, because I don't feel like the Seahawks have rushed for 170 yards total this season besides Russell Wilson. And, like, you talk about the right side of your offensive line being Pro Bowl caliber, and, like, that's really where the Seahawks struggle in their offensive line, because they've started to get it shored up on the left side with Dwayne Brown and Luke Jokel, and Justin Britt has been good since his move to center. But, you know, you're starting a rookie in Ethan Posick, and then Jermaine Ifedi, who still is developing, it leaves a lot of room for improvement in the running game. So it's not looking good for us in that department, and it's looking good for you guys all over the field, really, this year. And the Eagles have been touted as the most complete team in the NFL. Where, in your mind, do the Eagles have a weakness, if there even is one?
It was supposed to be the cornerback group coming into the season. And you've seen great strides from Jalen Mills. Patrick Robinson, people thought he might not even make the roster because he was playing so poorly at outside, even in training camp. And now he's playing like a Pro Bowl nickel. He's in the top five of pretty much every metric you want to look at for nickel corners. So it was supposed to be pass defense. In the last three games, if I'm not mistaken, we're number one in the league for pass yards given up. And when you consider the game script that would normally lean towards more passing yards, and teams can't run on us either. Especially yesterday, what was it, against the Bears, they averaged 0.4 yards per carry. So I mean, Dak couldn't pass on us. The pass rush is bumping. We lead the league in pressure percentage. So it was supposed to be that area for us defending the pass, but we're getting such good play out of our corners, and now we get Darby back for the last couple of weeks, and he's killing it. So I mean, right now it would have to be, with Jordan Hicks missing, it would have to be the linebacker core. And I know Joe Walker had a stinger in the game last week. We'll see how the injury report shakes out with that. His replacement would be Najee Good. That's the only place I can really point to and go, you know, right there, that's where teams should try to attack us. But first, they got to get through the first wave of Timmy Jernigan, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry, who are all playing fantastic run defense.
Yeah, would you say that the linebacker weakness is that more, and by weakness, I mean relative weakness, with a really strong roster across the board, is that more going to have an impact in the running game or in terms of covering tight end, slot receivers, things along those lines?
Right, so you got, and Bobby Wagner, very, very good linebacker. I'm going to give you Wagner. I would say you got the second best coverage linebacker in the NFL, Nigel Bradham, playing strong set backer for the Eagles. He takes the tight end quite often. And yeah, he's, you know, he's not nationally known, but he's, you know, PFF had him as one of the highest graded coverage linebacker in 2016. He's there again, 2017, as far as their, you know, yards allowed per route run, yards allowed per target, yeah, all of that nonsense. Coverage snaps, he's leading all that stuff. And you go to the film, it's there. He's an incredibly fluid linebacker in space. He's physical, and he's a fantastic tackler. And so you'll get him there often on tight ends. And then what the Eagles will do, especially in the wake of the Jordan Hicks injury, is they'll take Malcolm Jenkins, who was originally a corner and is now playing strong safety for them, and they'll align him like a linebacker. They'll put him in the box, and they'll ask him to cover a tight end from that alignment, especially when you have a tight end like Jimmy Graham, who's a move tight end, very, very active, very fluid in the open field. They'll move Malcolm Jenkins over him as well. And so that's how you the Eagles account for some of those coverage losses as well. The biggest drop-off for me and Joe Walker in not having Jordan Hicks is just that field general, sort of a guy who coordinates everything. That's the biggest drop-off, in my opinion, as far as Walker goes.
And I had a question for you guys, because Ben mentioned Jimmy Graham. So Jimmy Graham leads tight ends in red zone targets by 8 for tight ends, and he leads all red zone targets by 3 when you include wide receivers. He has 21. The next closest is Davante Adams with 18. Could you guys explain real quick, since we're talking about this linebacker, safety, Jimmy Graham matchup, how the Seahawks have been so successful targeting Graham in the red zone? What do they do with him?
Here, I'll just say that it isn't necessarily purely successful. It's only been in the last, I'd say, 6 weeks that the success rate has really ticked up. It's been a lot of in-breaking routes, lining him up, getting a one-on-one, and allowing him to use his strength in places where Russell Wilson's delivering the ball in more into tighter windows, but then having Graham win those one-on-ones, rather than throwing fade routes, rather than trying to get Graham into traffic and having him win there. It is like one man slant, hit him there. That's been working. One man out, even outbreaking routes.
Yeah.
It's been all about getting those one-on-ones and not relying on the fade, honestly.
That really
changed things for our – and I mean, it also is that we don't run the ball in the red zone because we can't right now. And so there's no better option from the 3 yard line. There's no way we're getting into the end zone from the 3 yard line right now with a running back.
Yeah, and I'd say it's just been force feeding Jimmy Graham these targets in the red zone. You see a lot of these isolated matchups, as Spike was saying, and Russell Wilson actually really struggles throwing the fade in the end zone. And so you get these low balls, not even low, but towards Jimmy Graham's midsection. It's funny to use a basketball term for Jimmy Graham, but he kind of boxes out the defensive back and uses his frame and his body to make the catch and score a touchdown for the Seahawks. And I think one thing that's cleared up a lot of targets for Jimmy Graham was the departure of Jermaine Kearse, because that was a big red zone target for Russell Wilson in Seattle last year. And Jimmy Graham's targets in the red zone have shot way up from last year. And so it's not a coincidence with Kearse leaving and Graham getting these targets, and also the lack of a running game.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're using like motion concepts necessarily to get these one-on-one matchups. It's a little bit of that, but again, like, we just aren't posing a threat in the running game. So it's been a little difficult, but the second it's there, Wilson's very good at reading and identifying.
So actually kind of alluding back to your running back situation, you said you can't generate, you know, those 3-yard runs inside of the goal line. I'm just curious, and I'm sorry for this, who exactly is running the football?
Russell Wilson.
What number of person am I expecting on Sunday? Is Carson coming back? Because he was exciting for a while. Who's healthy? Who's doing what?
Well, Chris Carson's he's not coming back this week, and it's kind of in the air for a return this season, actually. But they're hoping he comes back later on. But as far as running backs go, I mean, it's a group of guys. They can't really settle on one. It's kind of week to week. They leaned on Eddie Lacy. They leaned on Thomas Rawls. J.D. McKissic gets carries sprinkled in. C.J. Procise is on IR. And then you have Mike Davis, who was just called up and played. He should be back this week to play. So it's a mixed bag, but honestly, the biggest threat to you guys is like you guys said, Russell Wilson. He's been our leading rusher through 11 games. So it's no threat coming out of the backfield besides number 3.
Well, and I'll say that Mike Davis is likely to start this week. Pete Carroll's been pretty enthusiastic about his performance this year, which is relative. You know, he hasn't been particularly good, and he played less than 3/4 of football, but he did manage to generate positive yardage, so that's something. And then J.D. McKissic is probably our best weapon against you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be as much in the passing game as in the running game, but if he can get to the outside against you, I mean, that is where the possibility for an explosive run would come from anyone other than Wilson. Davis is maybe our best within the tackles runner right now, but we still, you know, and we had years of Marshawn Lynch, and like it felt dumb to be like, oh, we can't replace him, but like we haven't replaced him at this point. And those explosive runs up the middle, just, we don't have anyone who's even close.
That hasn't been an area of success all year. I'd say the Seahawks' most successful run play that we've seen over the last few weeks and with McKissic is that kind of flip play to the outside and give him a little space and let him use his speed. So that's probably where they've been most effective in giving the running back a ball.
Yeah, I would say that would be your best bet. I think Carolina tried stuff against like that against us. They refused to run up the middle, and I really can't blame them. But at the same time, you can get to the edges of this defense the way the Cowboys did it. You got to give some different looks and some pins and pulls and trap our guys inside, and we'll give up some soft edges every now and then. But let's flip it around to the defensive side of the ball for the Seahawks. I'm going to be watching some Seattle Seahawks All 22 tonight. Tell me what to look from this run defense, because from what I've seen so far, their interior guys, Sheldon Richardson, Jerron Reed, and rookie Naz Jones, they've all been really stout. You've always got a plan for Michael Bennett. Bobby Wagner is Bobby Wagner. Where's the weakness, essentially? Where can the Eagles exploit this run defense that is only allowing an average of 69 really nice rush yards per game in the last 3 games?
I'd say you just nailed it in terms of laying out all of the strengths, and there are so many. I mean, Naz Jones has been excellent. Sheldon Richardson was pretty incredible against San Francisco. He was all over the field, penetrating deep against their offensive line and shedding blockers to be able to make some tackles deep in the backfield. He looks really, really good right now, which is great, because early in the season he looked fine, but we gave up a second rounder for him, so it's nice to see him look great. The weakness, I mean, and the big question is, we don't have Cam Chancellor anymore, and Cam Chancellor was a huge part of defending the run. Same with Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman is a very good tackler from the cornerback position. Chris Collinsworth would always remind the world of that. but it's true, and Jeremy Lane is not that guy. So I think the question is, with the quality of offensive line do you have, are you able to create the sort of situations where Bradley McDougal, Justin Coleman, Jeremy Lane, those are the guys who are making that hit, who are in position to make that tackle, and then can you beat them? And as a Seahawks fan, I'm a little worried about that, because we've relied so heavily on Chancellor and Sherman to shore up the edges and like hold guys on 3rd and 1, and we don't have them anymore. So I'd be interested to see. I mean, the San Francisco game wasn't a great example of that, because our base run defense was so effective. But I think that's something to look for, is with those guys out, on those like short runs, are you guys getting that extra yard? Are you pushing the pile forward a little bit more than we used to give up? I mean, we're really good in run defense right now, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, the Seahawks have been really strong, especially in the past 5 weeks. And so, I mean, I think the Eagles' offensive line and the combination with the running backs is the biggest test that they're gonna face up to this point. And really, yeah, Bobby Wagner has been so great in really everything that he's doing. And so it's not like the biggest area of concern, the running game. But like Spike said, you know, the absence of Cam Chancellor is going to be huge, because he was like another man in the box and he played so close to the line of scrimmage. And we were just talking about this on our last show, but you know, he was a guy that we've seen blow up an offensive lineman and make a tackle on a running back who was in the air. And so he was just incredible. And I know like he might have taken a step back from, you know, that point in his career, but you know, his impact still was great with the Seahawks. So we're going to miss him a lot, especially in a game where the right side is so strong for you guys.
Now, I got to ask, and there's more in-depth analysis into which to get, absolutely, but I got to know, how's my boy Marcus Smith doing? Eagle fan favorite, outside linebacker Marcus Smith. Y'all picked him up off waivers after we finally cut him. How's he doing over there? You guys treating him well?
Yeah, he's fine. He had a sack in his first game. Like,
no way.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
I think he's up to like 3.5 sacks. Like, he's been fine.
He was dealing with an injury recently, but he's back. I think he was in the concussion protocol.
He definitely was playing last game. Our pass rush has not been what, given some of the names on the defensive line, what we might have wanted coming into the year. With that sort of base four pass rushers coming into the year of Averill, Bennett, Richardson, and Clark, you were like, oh, man, the pressure rate's going to be out of control. The pressure rate is not out of control. It is very much in control. I think we're 24th in the league in pressure, which is not what we want or expect. A lot of that comes down to our defense being comfortable containing the opposition and making plays in the linebacker core, basically letting Bobby Wagner take over games, keeping everything underneath, and that's largely worked. Our defense has been really good this year, if not number one in the league like it had been in some of the previous years. Marcus Smith has been good. He's been a nice rotational piece with Cliff Averill out. And when you're replacing a guy like Cliff Averill, who's coming off a Pro Bowl berth, who is a double-digit sack guy, it takes a village. And when Marcus Smith is a lovely member of said village, and we are, and we like him. We like him fine, but he, and I think it's gotta be nice for him to not have any baggage. Like, yeah. Nobody's thinking about Mark. It's like, oh, right. He popped up on the pass rush. Lovely.
Good for him.
Oh, he didn't really get a snap that drive. Okay, that's fine. Like, we're sort of like, yeah, anything we get out of Marcus Smith. Look at that free money we found, which I assume is not your perspective on Marcus Smith.
You know, I don't think I even care. I haven't thought about Marcus Smith for a sleepless night.
When I saw him on the depth chart, I was like, no way. I got to check in with my boy. How's Marcus doing?
Ben, do you have any other questions for them? Because I want to talk about this this betting line on mybookie.ag, and we'll get into predictions and whatnot.
No, let's move to that. I'm curious to hear what they think about Seattle and what feels like a very like must-win game for the 7th seed in the NFC. So let's move to it.
Yeah, Seattle at home opened at it was at 5 points for the Eagles. Now it's moved to 6. I thought it was going to move the other way. I thought it was going to open at like 2 points in favor of the Eagles and then start to slide. It was at 5 and now it's at 6. I'm going to ask you guys, Locked On Seahawks, make it official. Do you have the Seahawks covering? I'll put it to you that way.
Oh man, I love getting 6 points at home in prime time. I don't love this matchup, but I don't know that you guys are going to be able to boat run us the way you have your last 3 opponents. Certainly if the game gets away from us, I don't see it getting away from us in the sort of way where like, I'm going to give up 6 points to take the other side of it. And a lot of that comes down to, even if you guys do take a lead and force us to throw the ball, we've been really effective doing that. And as good as your pass defense has been, I'm not worried about Russell Wilson's ability to extend plays and keep us in something of a shootout if that's how this game breaks. As good as Dak Prescott has been to this point in his career. He's not Russell Wilson. And man, when was the last time we lost by more than six at home? It's I feel like there are a couple instances, but not many in the Wilson era. I don't know, Grant. How are you feeling? I'm taking the Seahawks with 6 points.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, but six. Come on.
I'm in that same boat. Like it's been years since Seattle's opened as a home underdog, and that last game that they opened as a home underdog was against the Patriots in that famous You Mad Bro game.
Yeah.
But there's a stat, and I don't know who to credit because it's a secondhand source, but the Seahawks have went to the fourth quarter and have gotten within one score in 113 out of 115 games. More. So they always keep it tight. They always are close. And especially at home in primetime, that's always been their best stage. I think that, you know, I'd be dumb to pick against the Seahawks with 6 points.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure one of those two games was Aaron Rodgers against us without Earl Thomas for the first time. So I don't count that. That game is non-canonical in Seahawks history as far as I'm concerned.
Just forget pretty much every Seahawks trip to Lambeau Field in the history of the NFL.
Without Earl Thomas, come on. What are you guys? Are you guys feeling like right now? Obviously, you're blowing teams out, but both of our teams have played really soft schedules to this point. Do you feel like the Seahawks are the sort of team that are going to, at the very least, be a speed bump for you guys and play you guys tight and give you guys the sort of game you just haven't been getting over the past few weeks?
It sounds crazy for me to say that the Eagles are going to blow out the Seahawks at home in a primetime game, so I'm not going to say it because I think that's like you guys said, that doesn't happen. This Seahawks team has a little bit more pride than that. They're not going to roll over when the chips get down. They're a scrappy team, and Russell Wilson can make some crazy magic happen at the end of the game, and next thing you know, you're up two scores, and now you're fighting for your life. So I'm going to say that the Seahawks cover, and I'm also going to take the under. The over-under is at 47.5, so I would probably take the under on that. I could see a slow start to this game offensively.
Yeah, it could definitely feel a lot like that Cowboys game in the first half, and then stay a little tighter down the stretch is sort of what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I mentioned this, and that was at the point where I feel the Eagles looked most beatable in that first half against the Cowboys, and clearly they came out in the second half and they continued to do as they've done during the season and boat race the Cowboys. So it's kind of if the Seahawks can string together a full 60-minute performance and really play up to their talent and potential.
Yeah, the other thing with that six-point line is the Seahawks have been the best fourth-quarter team in the NFL by far this year. Mm-hmm. I believe they're plus, like, 57, right, something along those lines. Scored over 100 points already in the fourth quarter. So it's the sort of thing where, like, even if we're down late, you still would love to have those 6 points in your back pocket.
Yeah, I agree. Ben, how do you have it?
Yeah, so as a guy who loves to handicap, I'm not touching this line, not a chance, because everything recent pushes Eagles, and everything historical pushes Seattle. You know, Russell Wilson's record in December also, because the Seahawks always seem to kind of limp into December and then ramp things up a little bit. He's 17-5, right? He's incredibly, it's his best month as far as all the splits go. So they know how to pick things up when the going gets tough, and they know that the division is still within reach with the Rams. And so I think that Seattle will definitely put up a fight. If I do touch anything, I'm actually going to take the over, Mike, because Eagles have put 30-plus points up in the past five games. Offense clicking on all cylinders. And Seattle has shown that they can, as Grant and Spike were alluding to, they can hang when things get a little bit shootouty. And I figure if Seattle's going to cover that six-point line, it'll likely be a little bit further down the scorebooks. I don't think it'll be as tight. So if I'm hitting anything, I'm going to hit the over. But I'm staying far and away from this line. As far as straight up, it's been highlighted as this is the test, you know, the two-game road stretch against Seattle and against Los Angeles. But this Philadelphia Eagles team is very aware of that. You know, you listen into kind of their press conferences and their demeanor. I think they know that they've got something to prove in the sense that they've rolled over some easy opponents at home. Now they've got a big test. And so I expect them to come out firing. You know, that first half against the Cowboys was ugly. But they were out of the bye against an opponent they should have beat in. They came out sloppy. They were shooting themselves in the foot. They adjusted really nicely in the second half. And then it was all guns firing. And so I expect them to come out kind of, you know, looking to make a statement. Seattle, I do expect, will be able to hang around with them. But I think that Philadelphia is going to put out one of their better performances of the year in Seattle. They remember that loss from last year, too. That was an embarrassing performance.
Yeah, it was. It was a genuine, it was a surprising blowout when you guys had shown some real signs of life early in the season. And, I mean, yeah, I could see this ending 27-24, 30-27, something along those lines. And I'm not going to say who I think is going to win this game right now, because the conversation we're having, it was a similar conversation to the one we had heading into the Atlanta game, where I'm like,
yep.
Man, it just doesn't feel like... It feels like if the Seahawks had a running back they could lean on and could, you know, take some possessions away from the overall game, could manage the clock a little better. It's the sort of game that they could, like, keep control of. But right. The way this matchup, like, I don't think that they're going to get blown out, but I do think they are going to be the reactive unit so much of this game that it's tough to think about them and be like, oh, yeah, they're the favorites to win, even though it's at home and in primetime. Also, the Seahawks have just lost at home in primetime and have looked better, arguably, on the road this year than at home. So everything's weird, guys. Everything's weird.
Yeah, I mean, now that we know what Mike Davis is, you guys are in for a whole world of pain. No, I'm kidding. But... yeah, it's gonna be a tough game, obviously. I think for both teams it's gonna be, you know, kind of a back and forth sort of thing, but the Eagles are just so complete and they're so talented in really all facets of the game. But I feel like Atlanta's matchups for Seattle were bigger wins than Philadelphia's matchups with Seattle. I feel like where Atlanta succeeds, I mean, Julio Jones, and we had Jeremy Lain on him. And not to slight the Philadelphia Eagles receiving core, but, I mean, Julio Jones is, you know, in the conversation for best receiver in the league, even though it's a down year. So I feel like we match up a little better, but in all phases of the game, Philadelphia is just so complete.
Who knows? Yeah. This could be a Matt Collins breakout game. I mean, we spread the ball around so much, you never know. You know what I mean? And Torrey Smith has taken less snaps. Matt Collins took a lot of snaps. We might hit some deep shots to him and really blow this thing out the water. But like you guys said, that I think I just can't predict that. I can't say that on the air and just get shredded by old takes exposed later on down the line.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Nick Vannett's just scored a touchdown against San Francisco. So you know, in the game of unknowns with Mike Davis and Nick Vannett, it could get dicey for the Eagles.
And I know we're about to wrap this up, but I gotta ask, how's your kicking game right now? Ours is not as bad as you might have heard, but not great either. And I'm just curious, you guys making them field goals? What's going on over there?
I love when Ben perks up when you mention the kicking game. He gets so excited. Ben, man, go for it.
Well, here's the thing. I saw a stat today that said that if Seattle could kick field goals, they'd be 9-2. Because they've dropped a couple of games now.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier on an earlier podcast.
I'm not hearing it,
Spike,
man.
Spike refuted
I'm not hearing it. We had a 52-yarder in the wind in Seattle, and I don't know if you guys are baseball fans, but you might know that the ball doesn't travel so great in Seattle down by the water, and that was just to tie Atlanta. We'd be 8-3 with the kicking game. I'm done with my rant. Please continue.
No, but
Blair Walsh. We've got Blair Walsh.
Yeah. We've got the rookie kicker in there, Jake Elliott, who we picked up off of the Bengals practice squad after the injury to Caleb Sturgis. The reason I got excited, as Locked On Eagles listeners will know, is that before he hit that 61-yarder to beat the Giants, I decided to be smart to tweet out, yo, if he makes this, I'll buy the jersey, right? You're going to buy the rookie kicker's jersey? He's not going to hit a 61-yarder, and so he does. And so now I'm a huge Jake Elliott fan, so I don't want to waste money on a jersey on a guy that gets cut next year.
Yeah, but you were supposed to burn that jersey because we were down at half and you were wearing that jersey for the first time and we're down 9-7. That should be burned. It should be ashes at this point, Ben.
So anyway, Jake Elliott, Jake Elliott's been very consistent. He missed an extra point on a bad snap. He missed a field goal and we were all kind of freaking out, but then it turned out that he kind of had a bit of an injury, maybe concussed, and they didn't notice ! And so he left then that Dallas game, which is why we saw Kamu Grugier-Hill linebacker kicking, which was fun. But Elliott's back now. He's healthy. He looked just fine there against Chicago. He kicked a field goal. He's been very good. He's got a big leg. And so I think he can probably push it a little bit in those Seattle wins, though his accuracy will vary. Kicking game, it's better than Seattle's. I'm afraid to report.
What, Ben? Coming from a guy who has owned a Steven Hauschka jersey, I'm right with you in the kicker conversation. I love Steven Hauschka, and he set a record for most consecutive 50-yard field goal makes. And that kind of hurt given what we saw against Atlanta. But yeah, I've always loved our kickers, but I'm experiencing a tough time with our new number 7, Blair Walsh.
Thoughts out to you, Grant. I feel your pain.
All right. And one quick question. How's Chris Maragos doing? He was a big special teamer for us, and he notably left to the Philadelphia Eagles. How is he doing?
See, now Mike's perking up because Mike is Chris Maragos' twin. Mike looks just like him.
Yeah, from this Skype photo, I'm like looking at. That's what brought it to mind, kind of.
Yeah, he is my doppelganger. I just followed you guys on Twitter too. I followed Locked On Seahawks as well because I love following all the teams here on the Locked On Network. I've got a podcast app full of Locked On Seahawks stuff. So take a look at my profile picture. Follow me back, obviously, but take a look at my profile picture and tell me I don't look exactly like Chris Maragos.
You do. And I did just follow you back.
I see that.
And that is great to see. I love that. Oh boy!
But he's on injured reserve is what happened with him. So But he's been fantastic. He was fantastic for us on special teams, man. He was an absolute ace.
Well, you see, here's your opportunity. You look just like him. Maybe add a couple pounds. Sneak your way into the locker room, put on a jersey, and then the rest is history.
I'm usually too drunk for most things. I think that would be one of them.
Awesome.
All right. I mean, that does it for questions for me. Spike, do you have anything left?
Nope. I am good to go.
Guys, it was good chatting with you.
Yeah, absolute pleasure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, no, looking forward to talking with you guys for the game moving forward. It'll be fun to keep touching base as things develop.
Yeah, when we have to go to Philadelphia in the divisional round with you guys coming off a bye, we will do this again. That's my prediction. That's my official prediction.
I like it. Seattle was my team for the Super Bowl, so let's pick things up, guys. Come on.
All right, guys. Take care.